Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Monday, the start of another week. It's January 22nd, 2018. We're just rolling along here, and the topics keep rolling along. And every time I think, my gosh, what more can we talk about? What more can we say? And then there's something more to say, and there's something more to talk about. The things that I started posting 15 years ago, before I heard about, I wasn't posting it 15 years ago. I think I was posting it like 9 or 10 years ago on Facebook, but writing about our common everyday words. And Christ always says there's more to learn. And so I guess there's always more to learn, even though I think, okay, I can do a resting period right now. Like, I know a lot, and, you know, let me use the knowledge I have, but it just keeps coming and coming and coming. And now we're asking questions, not just of, oh, how do I do this? How do I do that? What's the best way to think this? How can I get through this? Now we're just talking about, why is self-truth such a big deal? Why has it been a big deal? Why has truth even been a big deal? Century after century after century, people after people after people, generations. And it's all the same issues stem from somebody not telling the truth. And 90% of the time, it's when you are not telling you the truth. You can't see it for what it is. You see it for what it needs to be for you to act out, live out, do the things that you need to do to either avoid your truth or get to it. But the biggest deal is the people who are avoiding it. When you say, hey, you know what, you're doing this, and they're like, no, I'm not, and they're getting mad, and they're raising their voice, and then you know that they're fighting it. Sometimes we fight it back because we're like, how could they not see it? But telling ourselves the truth about who we are, who we've chosen as partners, why we chose the jobs we chose, the professions we chose, the house we chose, the people we chose. Why? It all goes back to how you feel about yourself in terms of being able to kind of gauge yourself and assess yourself. If you don't know you're reacting to pain and you're reacting to pain, you may not be able to say it to yourself, but the choices you make, the people you need to scream at, or the kind of house you need to own to say, I'm either so great or I'm not so great at all, or the kind of people you surround yourself with, all goes back to how much truth, how much love you're able to see in yourself. We talk about self-love, we talk about self-truth, we talk about honesty. And in every single time in our history, these are prevalent topics. In our generation, we were taught that self-love is selfish and to get love from the outside in. And advertisers did a great job on convincing us that we will not be happy without a certain car, house, person, dress, whatever it is they wanted to sell us. Face cream, body cream, neck cream. They broke down all our body parts and we have a cream for every part. A cream, a special cream for our hands, a special cream for our neck and chest, a special cream for our face, a special cream for our body. And, you know, everyone who's had an idea has put their idea out there and told us we need it. And yet at the end of the day, we're still talking about truth like it's a brand new thought over and over again. Why is it so hard for us to see or to identify or to speak or to admit the truth? Isn't it amazing how this topic is fresh and brand new? What in us evades the truth of ourselves, our surroundings, our peers? And why do we have so many escape routes? Geez, if you don't want to tell the truth, you can come up with a million stories. You could even convince yourself of that story. And you can take it and run with it to the bank. And you can sell it. People will buy it. You'll feel like you're okay for a day or two or a month. So my question to Christ was, what is it about the truth that scares us so much? Why doesn't us not telling the truth to ourselves or to other people, why is that the easier option? And the first thing he said was, it's a natural truth is a natural healer to what we fear most. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much the bottom line. It is what we fear most, but why do we fear it? Why do we fear truth? There's only one answer. Rejection. We don't want to be rejected by others or by ourselves. We don't even want to think we're off. And because we don't interact about our inner feelings, we hold them in and we cover them up and we put a bow on them and we put the box in a corner and then we don't live it. People who are in relationships for years and inside they felt they settled, that they didn't wait for their best partner or match. And that's not as big a deal if you can say it, but who's going to say that? So when we're not making the best decisions on the front end, most of the time we don't want to admit we didn't make the best decisions on the front end. It's too hard to go back and rewrite a history or to change things. But then we could always look on the bright side and say, hey, you know what? I have grown to love this person. If I am with this person, they must be my match. If I've been able to stay with them, then maybe I'm just not able to settle within myself. And that's the truth, not the other person. There are no mistakes. When we make decisions, we make them for a reason. And if we go back in that period of time and not know what we didn't know, we would make the same decision. We all know that one. That one's easy. Truth's such a big deal. Because telling ourselves the truth, telling yourself, hey, I don't like this, let me speak on it, instead of I won't speak on it, but I'll wait and blow up when it happens the 100th time. Self-truth is a natural anti-anxiety medication. Self-truth is a natural healer. The minute you can sit yourself down and have a true talk with you, like, hey, you know what? I did that because I felt insecure. Taking blame away from others. And understanding your own actions relieves you of anxiety. Anxiety is one of the ailments of our time. It is like the trend. It is the most medicated feature we've had so far this time in our history. People shaking, people not being able to breathe, having panic attacks, trying to you know, where a lot of people have OCD because they need to have things in order because everything else is so out of control in their mind that that gives them order, gives them a way to cope. It doesn't mean they're not telling the truth. It just means that over all this time, the lacks of truth have caught up to us. And they caught up to us in a big way. How much we try to say that us not telling ourselves the truth doesn't matter. It matters. No matter what our truth is, you know, that thing where Christ said the best, what is it? The worst truth is better than the best lie. It all starts at home in your own soul. When our barometer's off and it's off and it's off and it gets used to being off, it's hard to put it back on because you don't know what that feels like. And sometimes, you know, we're born, we don't have a balance. And that's okay. Sometimes we need medications. That's okay. But if you're just getting it here and there where you go through these anxiety attacks and you go through panic attacks because you can't face tomorrow. It's too big. You need a break. You need to stop. You need to make the world slow down a little bit because it's going on with or without us. But now when you see people, like, I know this sounds like a weird thing to say, but when I see, you know, we had a government shutdown in the U.S. over the weekend, and everybody's blaming everybody else. Everybody's pointing fingers and, you know, same old, same old. It's like, you know, they can't get themselves to agree on anything. And the only thing they do agree on is that nobody likes anybody. And they're, you know, siding here. And then the next day they're siding there. And you don't know what anybody's truth is. And because there is no truth, everyone just looks like these walking heads. You can't tell who's who and why they're doing what they're doing anymore. And it no longer matters because we don't believe any of it. But when I see, like, a flash of it on TV of everyone walking in a hallway or whatever, I think to myself, how many of those men and women are on high blood pressure medication, some kind of anti-anxiety medication, maybe a problem with diabetes, maybe this, maybe that? How many of them's health isn't that great? And we're still not able to do what we need to do for ourselves as people. Our food, our this, our that, none of it is based on truth right now in the bigger picture. When you hear each person speak individually, they sound great. You're like, oh God, I wish that, you know, we can do this. We can, like, go with this guy. And then we want to attach to someone who makes sense. Even somebody who hasn't studied politics or law, some president, because we feel like they're a better hope than what we've seen. And when somebody's good, there's a half of the country attacking them. And when somebody's bad, there's a half of a country attacking them. It doesn't matter anymore. Everyone's just siding blindly. They don't know, we don't know the people because they haven't spoken much truth. And when people don't speak the truth, we don't really know them. When we get used to someone not speaking the truth, we don't even listen to them anymore. At first it's shocking and we're like, oh, can you hear what he said? And now it's like, ah, look at what he said now. It just doesn't make sense to us anymore. Start with self-truth within us. What does that look like? You say to yourself, okay, I'm going to tell myself the truth. Well, you probably think you've been. But when you make decisions or you have thoughts, dig a little bit. Say, is this really how I feel about this? Am I taking this job because I'm desperate? Am I waiting for the job I want? Because once I get in a job, I'm probably going to stay there whether I like it or not because they accepted me. I'm so grateful someone accepted me. Why am I scared to wait? Is it because of money? Is there a way I can take care of myself until I get this job that I'm looking for that I know will stimulate me and I'll be excited to go to? Why do I feel so insecure that I won't get the job I want? What is it that I'm scared of? I'm scared that somebody will not see my potential. Why would I be scared that someone is not going to see my potential? How can I best show them my potential? Yes, it's a risk, but if I don't take the risk, I won't be happy. Should I date this person? What do I like about them? What don't I like about them? What do I think we can look like in the future? What do we have in common? What don't we? Can we be that way together? Do I trust this person? Oh, wait, if I don't trust them, then I don't need to ask myself the other questions. What do I like about myself in a relationship? What don't I like about myself in a relationship? Do I get a little bit controlling? Do I put people off? Does it upset people? Yeah, you know what? I could be a little bit controlling. Do I let people help me? Or do I just help them? Does it get lopsided and then there's like a power struggle? What happens when I'm in a relationship? What do I bring to the relationship? Good, bad, and indifferent. So at least I know. Hey, you know what? When I get upset, I do get quiet. I'm sorry I don't communicate when I get upset. I'm going to try to do that, even if it's just to tell you I'm upset and I don't know how to deal with myself yet. Give me a bit of time to adjust. That kind of honesty allows you to have a conversation that the other person can use. It's usable information. And that's been the bottom line of why self-truth is such a big deal. A lot of the information you have that you use to make decisions on isn't sustainable information if it's not true. If you're not responding to who you really are and you're responding to what somebody else wants or needs from you, then you're just an answer machine. Oh, they want this, I'll do that. You know, I've been working for everybody all day and I haven't had a minute to myself. Okay, well, why did you choose to do that? Well, I didn't choose to do it. I have to do it. And I say, okay, so why are you so upset? What if you died tomorrow? How would everybody get along? Think they won't make it without you having to do all of this stuff for others that upsets you so much? Really, you're just kind of avoiding getting to know you, so you dump it on everyone else? Do you think that's fair? They don't know how to do anything. You do everything to them or to you? You know how mad that makes someone when I say that? Once in a while, I have to. They get mad when I tell them, you need to solve this. It's not my issue. It's your issue. You can't depend on me to fix you. What if I died tomorrow? Then how will you fix you? But I bet you if I teach you how to fix you, or I force the hand, no matter how much you bark and scream, you'll learn how to fix you. You'll learn how to talk to you. You'll learn how to investigate your own feelings. There's times almost every day, I have to ask myself, okay, what am I doing this for? Why am I doing this? Do I desire back from this? Am I doing it the best way I can? And as I do that and got better and better and better at it in my life, all this stuff that didn't belong in my life was gone. And the weirder part was I just wasn't drawn to it anymore. So over time, it just fell off my radar because I didn't need those crutches anymore. Just being able to have a conversation with myself about my own actions. Very infrequently, very infrequently, but where I'm done talking, I talk so much. I just need to be quiet for a few days. Once I talked so much, I needed a week off the radio. I just needed to be quiet and reclaim instead of continuing to go on and get more and more tired or more and more drained because I was trying to do so much in my life, period. I knew I needed to take a few days to just regroup. And then you come back fresh and you're excited and you miss people, but you had the time to figure out why you even needed the time. Does it happen every day? No. But when you get to a point where you have to hear, listen to what you're saying to yourself. Listen to why you're making yourself do certain things or be certain places. Because when you ask those questions, once you get there, you're really happy you're there. And it happened to me yesterday. I was going to teach the kids. And I, for some reason on Sundays, I don't know if it's because I know I have to leave or what it is, but I get in this mood to write. And I wake up early and I write. I don't even walk on Sundays anymore because I go and I teach the kids and do all of that. And I can't, like, write and do that. So that's my day off, even though I went, like, later yesterday because I felt like it. But anyway, generally it's my day off. And then I thought, wow, I'm on a roll. Maybe I'll call and just have Samantha, my co-teacher, teach the kids. And then I said, but I don't want to not see the kids. I'm going to miss them. I love those kids. I would feel better if I went, even if I stopped writing right now. So I never called, never did anything, got dressed, left, went. I was so happy to see them, and they were so happy to see me. And we had such a great day. And the funnier part was, Samantha didn't come. Had I not come, there would not have been somebody there. But I knew that, yeah, I could write and I can sit and write at any time. But this is a timed event and I don't want to miss the kids. Their faces, they've now been growing with me. I've been with them. The one that was 6 is 8 now. I have some in high school now. And it's such a great dynamic. And what did we do yesterday? We talked about stress balls. We made stress balls. We put flour in the plastic bottle containers. And, like, not much. And then we put a balloon over it. We flipped it over, and we kept going until the flower was in the balloon. And then we wrapped the balloon. We drew, everyone drew their symbol on it or their name on it so that everyone would know whose was whose because they were all the same color. And we talked about why you would need a stress ball. So I started asking the kids, well, what do you do when you feel like you're getting upset? Or you're mad, or you're angry. One of the girls, one of the younger girls goes, well, I just hit my brother. And I thought, oh, good. And her brother's sitting there, and he goes, yeah, she does. And I said, do you really think that's your best moment? Well, no, I always get in trouble. Okay, so what do you think you could do next time you feel that coming? Now that you've said this, and you know that lifting your hand to hit your brother may not be your best solution. And she thought about it, and I said, what did we just make? I said, you know, back when I was a kid, they tell you go punch a pillow. Get it out. It doesn't have to be a person. Use your stress ball that we just made. The fact that you even know there is a stress ball helps you deal with stress. But what makes you mad in the first place? Well, I like to get my way. Yeah, everybody likes to get their way, even when they don't even know why they want it that way. But if we try to get upset and not take care of ourselves in those times, then we're just going to be mad at everything over time. Because getting our way doesn't come that easily. But we find ways to cope and adapt, and we find ways to work towards what we want, and we get things that way. It's a process. It's not a demand. Oh. Yeah. Otherwise, you'll be one of those demanding people you run away from now as a kid. But you will do that as an adult. You'll run away. I don't want to be around that person. So if you find a way to take care of yourselves when you're not happy, then you can enjoy being happy when you are. Happiness just doesn't show up at our door because we get a lot of pressures that challenge our happiness every single day. Things are going great. Something happens. Boom. How are you going to deal with that? I told them just a month ago, I was as happy as I could be. I'm driving down the freeway and boom, after that thought, I'm in an accident. And I thought, okay, I'm in an accident. I didn't get out and scream at the other driver. They didn't even get out to check on me and their car wasn't even damaged. Took me 10 minutes to get out of my car, but once I got out, I went and checked on them. And I'm like, did you guys see my car back there? They could care less. All they cared about was them shaking. I said, well, I'm kind of shaking too, but we have to do certain things to get home, and I want to get out of here. I was just matter of fact about it. There's nothing I could do to change what happened. They apologized for stopping. They lied about it to the insurance, but they apologized to me. I still have the pictures. I'm still holding on to them until they get the police report, and then we'll talk. Because I know what happened. They know what happened. But they didn't tell the truth. They were already planning to not tell the truth when they told me they were going to tell the truth. And all I thought to myself, and I told the kids this, was I would rather be me, even if I get blamed, I would rather be me telling the truth than them not telling the truth. Because now they know that they didn't tell the truth. Now they have to, the next morning, that Monday morning, the accident was Saturday, Monday morning, they both had attorneys. By the time my insurance called me, they told me they both had attorneys or had an attorney for both of them or something like that. And I said, for what? We were all fine. For medical. I said, oh, wow. And I said it out loud without even thinking about it. I said, now they have to act justified. Now they have to complain about every ache and pain. Now they have to talk. Yeah, we're going to be ached and pained a little bit. I ended up with a concussion myself. But I didn't want it to define me. I knew it would be better in a week or two. Yeah, I fell asleep over and over again. But the bottom line was, every time I thought about them, I felt sad because I knew that they have to perpetuate and bring about behavior that makes them look like something's really wrong. And probably until this day, something's not right. We become what we accept to think about. Self-truth is our natural healer. Tell the truth and you just all you have to do. Tall order in our world, but we can do it. You guys, I will see you guys tomorrow. Have a great Monday. I love you so very much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.